You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody, and happy Thursday afternoon, one and all. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Boy, it's been a busy week of news. We've got some breaking news to start this afternoon's show. Tommy Thompson, former governor of Wisconsin from 1987 to 2001, said he is, quote, seriously considering joining the 2026 Republican primary for governor. Are you kidding me? Here's what he said to the Journal Sentinel and WTMJ. Quote, I am still looking at it, and I'm seriously looking at it. So that's what goes into it, but no decision has been made. But it's certainly something that is not too far removed from my brain. Okay. Earlier to the Journal Sentinel, he downplayed the idea, but noted he's in, quote, great shape. If elected, Thompson would be 85 years young, question mark, when he would take office in January 2027. I'm just going to say this, Republican or Democrat, I got to say, can we pass the freaking baton to the next generation? I think it's time. In other breaking local news, apparently the federal government is looking to lease a ton of square footage in downtown Milwaukee to house ICE-related law enforcement operations, but not specifically detainees. This was reported by the Milwaukee Business Journal. They have put out a solicitation. This is the U.S. General Services Administration. That's the federal government agency that's responsible for managing office and building space on behalf of the federal government. It requested proposals for between 11,500 and 18,500 square feet of fully furnished modern office space. Again, looking downtown, here's the interesting part. The solicitation was apparently published 2 weeks ago September 16th, but responses were due a very short 27 hours later. Posted on the 16th, you had to get in your responses by 7:30 p.m. on September 17th. I'm sure there won't be any fraud, waste, and abuse when you're trying to lease space that quickly. Wow. Wanted to share some community news from the Green Bay area. This week, the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation is hosting an incredible fundraising event called Dancing with Our Stars. It fundraises for all sorts of nonprofits in that area. It is an incredible event, lots of fun if you want to attend, if you want to donate. Again, go to the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation. There's links to all of the participants. Special shout out to my friend and yours, Dan Terrio. He's going to be one of the competitors this weekend in that incredible event, dancing his feet off in that event. Dan, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, joins me around Thanksgiving because he is a two-spirit person, a member of the LGBTQIA+ community, as well as a First Nation person. His tribe right here, from right here in Wisconsin. Dan will be joining me again this Thanksgiving season. So best of luck to Dan's fundraising and, of course, that incredible organization, the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation. You don't have plans this Saturday and you're in that area of the state, go check it out. It's going to be good fun and for many good causes. Dan specifically fundraising monies for the LGBTQ History Project here in Wisconsin. Again, best of luck to you, Dan, my friend. Look for Dan again around the Thanksgiving holiday for a special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. Also, some national breaking news, or should I say international breaking news, within this past hour. Reporting by the New York Times is telling us this. President Trump has informed Congress that according to, well, I guess President Trump, that the United States is now in a formal, quote, armed conflict with drug cartels. that his team has labeled terrorist organizations, and that suspected smugglers for such groups are, quote, unlawful combatants. These terms, armed conflict and unlawful combatants, of course, have very specific legal meanings under the law of war. Again, this was a confidential notice that the president sent to Congress this week. The New York Times got a hold of it. This is reporting again just this afternoon. This notice was sent to a number of congressional committees. It was obtained by the New York Times. It adds these details to the administration's thinly articulated rationale in the past for why three U.S. military strikes were ordered by the president on boats in the Caribbean Sea last month, killing all 17 people aboard them. This would sort of be the fig leaf that you would use to say, well, we didn't commit murder. We're in an armed conflict. This is quite extraordinary. The New York Times quotes Jeffrey S. Korn, a retired judge advocate general lawyer, a JAG lawyer. These are military lawyers. He was formerly the Army's senior advisor for law of war issues. So this is the guy that would know something about these terms and what the law of war means. He said this to the New York Times: drug cartels were not engaged in, quote, hostilities, as that term is legally defined, and that is the standard for when there is a, quote, armed conflict for legal purposes. He said they're not engaged in hostilities because selling a dangerous product is different from an armed attack. Yeah, duh. Probably don't need a law degree to figure that one out. He went on to note this: it is illegal for the military to deliberately target civilians who are not directly participating in such hostilities, even if they are suspected criminals. Mr. Korn called the president's move an abuse that crossed a major legal line. Quote, this is not stretching the envelope. This is shredding it. This is tearing it apart. Quite extraordinary, folks. Remember us talking about the Bureau of Labor Statistics and this Trumpian, oh, I didn't like those terrible jobs numbers, so I'll fire the person that's in charge of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, install a lackey, and presumably start to massage those labor statistics so the Trump administration can just lie about how the economy is doing? Well, that lackey, unfortunately, is blowing up in the Trump administration's face. The White House has sent paperwork to the Senate to withdraw the nomination of E.J. Antoni as the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This, according to CNN. The withdrawal comes after CNN reported earlier this month that Antoni operated a since-deleted Twitter account that featured sexually degrading attacks on Kamala Harris, derogatory remarks about gay people, conspiracy theories, and crude insults aimed at the critics of Trump. There was also reporting that Mr. Antoni may have been in attendance on January 6th. Yeah. Anybody sad to see him go? I'm not sad to see him go. That is quite interesting. And I think it is yet another example of when your criteria for appointing people to these critical government positions is loyalty, not credibility, and certainly not merit. That one blowing up in the Trump administration's face. We're going to dig a bit into what that means, how important the BLS is. In the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Laura Dresser. She's the Associate Director of High Road Strategy Center, a labor economist. We're going to talk about the state of the workforce in the state of Wisconsin. So you're going to want to stick around for that. Speaking of jobs report, the most recent jobs report is bad, bad, and more bad. An anchor on CNBC called it, quote, very disappointing. Private sector jobs for September coming in at negative 32,000 when economists were looking for an addition, an increase in jobs of 51 to 54,000. August was also revised down sharply. Again, you know, this thing that Trump was complaining about that it was, you know, the head of the BLS's fault. No. August, again, revised down sharply. The month now showing negative 3,000 job losses compared to the initial read of plus 54,000. Yeah, that's not good, folks. That is not good at all. Again, we'll be joined by Laura Dresser at 5 o'clock to dig in more deeply into what that means here in the state of Wisconsin. Howard Lutnick was on a podcast, and he was asked a question about the Epstein files, and I wanted to share his answer with you because it's, well, weird and awkward. So just take a listen. Decide for yourself.
I mean, that's an incredible story that you could pick up that he was a pervert.
It's gross. The guy's gross. Right with my wife. He's gross. The guy's gross. This was not, the deep nuance of Howard Lutnick. This guy's gross.
Right. So how come Bill Gates and all these other people could hang around him and not see what you saw? Or did they see it and ignore it? Or
no, they participated.
Right.
That's what his MO was, you know, get a massage. And what happened in that massage room, I assume, was on video. This guy was the greatest blackmailer ever. Blackmailed people. That's how he had money. So
what happened to those videos? Why is there now such a dearth of information when, you know, Donald Trump's people are running the FBI and the DOJ?
I assume way back when, they traded those videos in exchange for him getting that 18-month sentence, which allowed him to have visits and be out of jail. I mean, he's a serial sex offender. How could he get 18 months and be able to go to his office during the day and have visitors and stuff? It must have been a trade. So my assumption, I have no knowledge, but my assumption is there was a trade for the videos because there were people on those videos.
And have you talked to Donald Trump about this and shared your theory?
No, I mean, he knows the story.
Right.
But my story that, you know, I was the one and done with the guy. You know, he knows that story, but that's it.
What? I just want to point this. First of all, he's basically saying that there's like comp robot about some of the nation's most powerful people. Then release the files. And here's the thing. If Howard Lutnick is just foaming at the mouth and spewing nonsense, do you think that's really a good thing for a cabinet level secretary of the federal government to be doing about something that has been the obsession of QAnon and the far right and the MAGA movement for a decade? You think it's a good idea to just, I don't know, speculate that there was some sort of horse trading of the videos of our nation's most powerful, wealthiest people for a lenient sentence? By the way, that sentence negotiated by the guy that Donald Trump eventually nominated to be a cabinet-level secretary. Gross. And just one other note here. Mike Johnson refuses to swear in the newliest, that's a new word, elected member of Congress who would be the 218th vote on the discharge position to force the Trump administration to release the files. Weird, huh? The headlines continue on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Come back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, Congressman Eric Swalwell is now calling it the Epstein shutdown. You know, when you've got that scandal that just won't get off the headlines, that your cabinet secretaries keep talking to random podcasters about and foaming at the mouth and speculating that there's comp robot about the nation's most important and powerful people somewhere? Yeah, you know, maybe a government shutdown and blame the other guys. We'll get to all of that and so much more. Has anybody else noticed that it seems that the American press corps is getting, I don't know, a little bit more direct, a little bit more prickly in their questioning of the president and especially Caroline Leavitt? Well, it happened yesterday, and I wanted to give this reporter a hug for asking the question that I think should be on every single American's mind. If you're worried about Hunter Biden trading on Joe Biden's name, if you're worried about him getting, I don't know, like a $20,000 truck or some nonsense, or even a few $100,000 in consulting money for, trading on his dad's name, then wouldn't you be concerned about the president's son-in-law managing over $2.5 billion for the Saudi Arabian Sovereign Wealth Fund, as well as getting embroiled in all sorts of other financial entanglements, including Don Jr. and the other son that nobody, Eric, that one. Especially if Kushner or Don Jr. or Eric are now being put in charge of anything having to do with the federal government's dealings with these foreign powers. I don't know. That would seem to be problematic as well. So a reporter asked Caroline Levitt about it, and her answer is revealing. Take a listen.
How did the White House decide that it is appropriate for Jared Kushner to be working on matters that involve Qatar, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, three countries that combined have given him more than $2.5 billion for his investment firm?
I think it's, frankly, despicable that you're trying to suggest that it's inappropriate for Jared Kushner, who is widely respected around the world and has great trust in relationships with these critical partners in these countries, to strike a 20-point comprehensive detailed peace plan that no other administration would ever be able to achieve. And so Jared is donating his energy and his time to our government, to the President of the United States, to secure world peace. And that is a very noble thing. And this is a peace plan that has not just been accepted by Israel, but it has been applauded by Muslim and Arab countries around the world. It has been applauded by European leaders around the world. Virtually everyone in the world is supportive of this plan that Jared Kushner offered his time to help put together alongside our special envoy Witkoff, the vice president, the president of the United States, Secretary Rubio, and the president's
Shh, Caroline, let me get this straight. It's perfectly, totally fine if he's, you know, making tens of millions of dollars because these foreign governments give him money to manage. By the way, Jared Kushner never had any experience running a private equity or hedge fund. He was a real estate guy. But, you know, they gave him $2.5 billion. He's making tens of millions off of that. How dare you ask if there might be conceivably like a teeny weeny conflict of interest because Jared is bringing us nothing less than world peace. So that's gross that you would even ask the question, because everyone loves Jared and world peace. What? Do these people really think the American people are this stupid? You can't even ask. It's disgusting. I mean, the idea that you would say he's donating his time, does this not sound a little bit like the Bagman Homan? You know, has never denied the underlying facts that he took a bag filled with $50,000 from an FBI agent in apparent exchange for promising to direct, you know, contracts to these fictitious companies. And when asked about it on news program after news program, Homan, apparently like Kushner here, is saying, you know, I've sacrificed so much, so it's totally fine if I'm just skimming a little off the top. Homan's, my family sacrificed. We're securing the border. So, you know, pay to play, bribery, that's all fine. Kushner, it's fine if I have these massive billion-dollar level conflicts of interest because, you know, world peace. Last I checked, I don't know, checks notes. Yeah, we don't have world peace. And frankly, I don't trust a guy who's lining his pockets with the assets from these countries to be objective in dealing with them in trying to bring about peace. That's the point. And if all of this is completely troubling to you, along with the utter lawlessness of the Trump administration, the double standards, the hypocrisy, the rhetoric, the racism, all those things, well, you're going to have a chance to make your voice heard, both on this station and on October 18th. The No Kings Rally of Rallies is going to be on October 18th. Everybody needs to be marking their calendars. And folks, if you thought the No Kings March back in June was a big deal, the number of registered protests and likely participants has now blown way past what they had back in June, ladies and gentlemen. It is going to be a mass mobilizations of Americans from every political persuasion, every background, every race, every religious persuasion, showing up to say we do not have kings in this country, and if conflicts of interest are unacceptable, if trading on names is unacceptable for one party, it's also unacceptable for the other party. A president running one of the biggest grifts ever seen in this country out of the Oval Office should not be permitted, because we don't have kings. We have presidents that should be accountable to the law. Go to nokings.org. Find out where a protest is going to be in your neck of the woods, and make your voice heard. We do still have a First Amendment, folks. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Dr. Robert Benson of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to talk about Trump's debacle at the UN and what it means for the ongoing conflict, you know, no world peace yet, between Russia and Ukraine. So stay tuned. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. I love talking to smart people, people that are smarter than I am, about our current events, and we've got one of those guests with us this afternoon. He's been very patient. We had him scheduled before. Thank him so much for being patient with us here on the Maggie Dawn Show and coming back to join us today. His name is Dr. Robert Benson. He's with the Center for American Progress Action Fund, a foreign policy expert. He's the associate director at the Center for National Security and International Policy. Welcome, Robert, and again, thank you for working with us to get you back on the show.
Great to be with you.
Well, I wanted to start sort of at a meta level, because last week and this week, we had a combination of two events that I think gives us a keen insight into what is happening writ large throughout the Trump administration. To remind us of what occurred on Tuesday, let's just listen to the President of the United States in front of 800 of our nation's top military minds, most prestigious command, and NCOs basically say and direct them that they should start violating the Constitution and the Posse Comitatus Act. Take a listen to Trump suggesting, maybe even directing, that we use cities as training grounds for the military.
And then I told Pete, we should use some of these dangerous cities as training grounds for our military, National Guard, but military. As president, I will never hesitate to defend our people from threats of
and he sort of gets back on script. Quite shocking. It was basically stunned silence for the entirety of the Hegseth Trump presentation on Tuesday at Quantico. And just as a postscript to that, before we get into the combo 1-2 punch of Trump's meltdown at the UN and then Trump's meltdown before our top military commanders, let's listen to George Stephanopoulos press the Speaker of the House yesterday on this very topic and Mike Johnson's utter inability to deal with the substantive question at the heart of a president suggesting that the military should train in our cities. Take a listen.
The president also said at the Pentagon yesterday that he wants American cities to be used as training grounds for the American military. Is this the highest and best use of the U.S. military, and is this the right way to train them?
I don't serve in the Pentagon. I run the House of Representatives. And what we need to be talking about today is real harm that the American people are going to feel because of what Chuck Schumer is doing. Let me tell you what's going to be heard today.
As Speaker of the House, do you believe it's appropriate to use American cities as training grounds for the U.S. military, calling those people in the American cities the enemy within? As Speaker of the House, do you think that's appropriate?
I'm not going to comment on your characterization of what the president said.
I didn't get to see that speech because I was a little busy yesterday.
Well, you can take his quotes out of context, which you often do, and I don't think that's fair to the president. I'll tell you what he's done, though. He's put National Guard troops here in D.C. and cleaned up the crime problem. People can walk
blah, blah, blah. We just listened to the president say it. It's not out of context. It's what the man said. It's a direct quote. You can say that he's feeble-minded or that he doesn't really understand what he's saying, but he's the president of the United States. He needs to understand what he's saying. Dr. Benson, there's there's utter lack of any substantive heft. There was no articulation of any sort of national security strategy. There was no articulation of any sort of global order concept underlying philosophy last week at the UN. What's going on here?
It's totally unacceptable, right? I mean, let me speak plainly. What the president suggested at Quantico is completely unacceptable. It violates the Constitution of the United States. This is a democracy. We don't pit the military against civilians. It's not who we are. And for good reason, right? The founders knew the danger of deploying the military domestically. We fought a revolution against the very idea that a king could use the military with impunity, right, against citizens. Trump is ahistorical. Yeah. He behaves like a dictator because he emulates dictators, right? Take a look at Putin, his love affair with Putin. It's based on this idea that he wants to be kind of like him, right? He yeah. wants to be able to deploy the military against American citizens and have complete and utter control, with no checks and no balances. And that is a great danger that we face.
These are truly extraordinary moments. We've got probably the most notable bit of sound from Trump at the UN addressing the General Assembly last week. Let's just remind ourselves of what he said.
I'm really good at this stuff. Your countries are going to hell. In America, we've taken bold action.
Blah, 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 blah. I've never heard a president say anything close to that in any kind of diplomatic setting. Is this sort of a bizarro version of cosplay? I feel like Donald Trump and so many of his cabinet-level secretaries, whether you're talking about Scott Bessent to Howard Lutnick to the WWE lady running the Department of Education to the Fox Weekend News host running the Department of War/Defense or whatever it is, lecturing about grooming standards and PT tests to our top generals, this all feels like they're not actually, Donald Trump's audience was not diplomats. It was not world leaders, though he was standing before them in the UN General Assembly. Pete Hegseth's audience, Donald Trump's audience this Tuesday, wasn't our nation's top military leaders and top military strategists. The audience is his base. And my question to you, Dr. Brunson, is while this may be cosplay, while this may be, again, these debased appeals to the base, there's real danger here. And the reason I played Speaker Johnson's response to George Stephanopoulos's question is because it seems like Congress, at least the MAGAs in Congress, are completely unwilling to deal with the reality of this danger that the Trump administration poses to our most sacred institutions and at base to our nation's security.
I think that's exactly right. You know, there's so much to unpack here, right? So at a fundamental level, it's difficult to hear the President of the United States speak like this. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's, you know, denigrating our allies like that publicly at the UN. Not to mention the speech itself was meandering. I mean, just kind of rambling, incoherent. Half of the speech was anti-climate tirade. Right, belittling countries that have stood shoulder to shoulder with us in Iraq and Afghanistan, at a fundamental level, it's hard to stomach. But I completely agree with your assessment. Yes, on the one hand, this is theatrics, right? It's meant for a domestic audience. It's red meat for the base. But we can't simply look at it from that level because we have an additional danger, right? Trump is undermining our norms of diplomacy, the way that we literally conduct politics in this country. And when you debase the norm, when you willfully undermine it, it's hard to get that back, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard to build back a democracy that respects itself and that has respect for our allies and partners. When you lose that, when you willfully give that up, right? you are, again, emulating the worst kind of politics that we see abroad, right? You're emulating the Putins and the Viktor Orbans. The question I pose to my fellow Americans, do you want to live in Viktor Orban's Hungary or Putin's Russia? Because this is exactly the kind of politics that President Trump espouses.
Folks, we're with Dr. Robert Benson with the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Dr. Benson, when do we turn the corner? Because it used to be a fairly reliable pillar of the Republican Party that they were foreign policy hawks, that they labeled and sort of laid claim to patriotism. But that was very much part of the United States as a superpower, as a hegemon, as being at least ostensibly a bright shining light on the hill. Donald Trump has turned the United States inward. It is removing itself literally from having a seat at the table as a meaningful world power, as an ally to every single one of the Western alliance dating back to the end of World War II. This is degrading in so many different ways. When does it turn the corner? When does it start to get through to Republicans of good faith? And I know that there are many of them out there, when they can look at this and finally take off the rose-colored glasses and see it for the true existential danger that it is. Are we at that tipping point? Are we there yet? Because this seemed like quite the 1-2 punch to me.
I mean, the amount of times I had hoped that we would, you know, meet that moment. The Republican Party has been cannibalized by the MAGA movement and by Donald Trump, who is a cult of personality. You know, in some ways, it's better to have a psychologist, right, on the program than to have a political scientist. Because what we're dealing with is a unique phenomena in American history, right? Donald Trump defies the political laws of gravity, right? Scandal after scandal. And there's reasons, right? There is a grievance politics in this country that is not without merit.
You know, correct.
People have been economically left behind. There is a cultural disconnect between, you know, the coasts and the heartland. The problem is that, you know, whereas Trump has identified a kernel of truth in some of our national pathologies, right? The solution that he prescribes is anything but. And he is taking the country down a dark political road. And the reason I come back to Putin is I think that the Russification of our politics is the appropriate prism to understand both what's happened to the Republican Party, but also what's happened to American institutions as they really struggle to push back against this encroaching authoritarianism. Now, I'm a progressive, but I want a strong center-right political party, right? Our country deserves a Republican Party which has conservative ideas and spars in the marketplace of debate with the Democrats and the center-left, but a party that abides by the Constitution. And to the extent that the Republican Party has abdicated that solemn responsibility, it is a shame. And I personally think that we need to remember this moment because we will come out of it. And the Speaker of the House needs to be held accountable for his inability to say what is patently so true, that Trump can't deploy the military against American citizens, that what happened at the UN was an embarrassment to all of us. But we're not there yet.
We're not there yet. I just want to say, Dr. Benson, thank you for articulating this in a way that I think is critically important. We deserve parties that root political debate in facts and reality, and that truly believe that we all have a shared oath to our most fundamental American values and to our constitutional republic. It is through that active debate that our country can get better, push forward, and again, have a true marketplace of ideas. We're going to continue this discussion with Dr. Benson, foreign policy expert from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. I'm Maggie Dawn. Stay with us, folks. We're going to sneak in a quick break. Be right back, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere, because, of course, the 5 o'clock hour is coming up, and it is Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Multi-State Text to Win contest. We'll be dropping that word right at the top of the hour. Folks, right now I'm joined by Dr. Robert Benson of the Center for American Progress Action Fund, an expert on how democracies die. I'm going to get to that question with him, but I wanted to flesh out what I think is a number of increasing indicators that the president is maybe not fully present, not fully grasping the moment. Donald Trump always had the weave, or whatever we want to call his meandering presentation style. He always said outlandish things. He always spoke in hyperbole. Well, people are saying that it was always very difficult to pin down. That's always been Donald Trump. But his meltdown before the United Nations and his meltdown before 800 of our nation's top generals and commanders was quite extraordinary. It simply displayed a level of degrading mindset that is alarming to, I think, many. I've been talking to lots of folks that I know that have served, been to military academies. I just wanted to take a couple cuts from the presentation before the generals at Quantico. And then a congressional representative confronted the Speaker of the House yesterday about this very concern, and his response was frankly shocking. Let's listen to Trump randomly end up talking about Barack Obama before the generals.
So one thing with Obama, I had zero respect for him as a president, but he would bop down those stairs. I've never said, da-da-da-da-da-da, pop-pop-pop. He'd go down the stairs, wouldn't hold on. I said, it's great. I don't want to do it. I guess I could do it. But eventually, bad things are going to happen, and it only takes once. But he did a lousy job as president.
And then this weird missive to a bygone era about battleships and the aesthetic of boats, very weird. Take a listen.
In the Second World War, they were freighters and different types, but we were doing a ship a day, and now we don't do ships. And I'm not a fan of some of the ships you do. I'm a very aesthetic person, and I don't like some of the ships you're doing aesthetically. They say, oh, it's stealth. I said, that's not stealth. An ugly ship is not necessary.
And he goes on and on and on. So late yesterday, Representative Madeline Dean confronted the Speaker in the halls of Congress and asked him about the president's mental state. Take a listen.
The president is unhinged. He is unwell. What
a lot
are you
of folks
doing?
On your side are too. I don't control.
Oh my them. God! Please, that performance in front of the generals—that
I didn't see it.
Is so dangerous. You know I serve on foreign affairs and appropriations. Yeah. This is a collision of those two things. Our allies are looking elsewhere. Our enemies are laughing.
I just left.
You
the
have a president who is. You have a president who is unwell.
So importantly, Mike Johnson doesn't rebut the premise. Oh, you guys are unhinged too. He, in effect, admitted the president is off the deep end. What do you make of this, Robert?
I think Rep. Dean said it best. The president is patently unhinged. I mean, you heard the clip. I don't know whether to laugh or cry. What is he talking about? The aesthetic of a battleship? I'm an aesthetic guy? What?
Well, let me ask you this question about that. Because even if you sane wash what he said, it also shows a complete lack of understanding about where modern warfare is. We don't have battles anymore because half of warfare is virtual. You talk to folks that have been on the front lines in Ukraine, and they're talking about swarming drones, picking people out when you move because they can sense movement. It's simply not a relevant sort of point of discussion in modern warfare. Does the president even have a clue as to what's going on or the stakes of the Russia-Ukraine conflict?
No, and he's the commander-in-chief, right? So I think that this helps clear the mind, because the first impulse, as I mentioned, is to laugh, but this is deadly serious business. And make no mistake, right? Rep. Dean is right. Our enemies are paying attention to what's being said. And they look at the United States, quite frankly, as a country that is not being governed by a man with any aptitude whatsoever. And Putin is biding his time. Mm. He's completely played the president on these Ukraine negotiations. all the while taking more land, killing more Ukrainians. And now you talk to intelligence agencies in Berlin and Warsaw, there is a significant concern that Putin may move into the Baltic states and test NATO, the integrity of the NATO alliance, because he thinks that Trump won't defend these countries and, quite frankly, doesn't really understand the first thing about NATO.
And it's his performance over the last 2 weeks affirms Putin's greatest hope, right, that we've got an American president that's incapable of responding to an increasing threat from China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, etc., and who's got family members effectively trading on the president's name, involved in all sorts of conflicts of interest, which compromise this president and this administration's ability to even negotiate. Robert, my closing question here is, we were talking during the break, there may be a tiny bit of a silver lining, and I mean the tiniest silver lining, because it seems like people are engaged. Tell us what you know from your study of what leads to the death of democracies.
You know, I want to level with your viewers. It's my belief that we are in amongst the most dangerous geopolitical climate that has existed in the last 30 to 40 years, at least since the end of the Cold War. On top of that, we face unprecedented threats to democracy at home. So it's the combination of the two, right? This is the moment for mass mobilization. We need people to be queued in. We need people attending that protest, that No Kings protest on the 18th of October. The one thing we know from the study of authoritarianism is they win if we sit down. Don't sit down. Stand up and fight back.
Dr. Robert Benson, please come back very, very soon. We'll continue this important discussion. Stand up, make your voice heard. NoKings.org on October 18th. When we come back, we talk about the state of the workforce in this state of Wisconsin with Laura Dresser, a labor economist. Stay with us. The discussion continues on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.